Here we are at the end of 2021, right? It's very interesting year. An interesting time certainly are continuing. And I want to spend this time talking together. I'll do a lot of talking now, but later to be able to hear from you all about navigating this time of winter and the darkness. And often in solstice conversations about solstice, it's like in the dark and then the coming of the light. And so let's move on into, you know, next Tuesday will be the time when the days will start to get a little bit longer. And I've been sitting with this notion of but not yet. And can we allow ourselves to almost luxuriate in this darkness? In the poem I shared last week, William Stafford's The Ritual We Read to Each Other, and the line, like, the darkness around us is deep. Awake people need to be awake. The darkness around us is deep. And how can we almost allow ourselves to relax into this darkness, which I'm imagining the animal body wants to do? You know, that's from Mary Oliver's work, to let this animal body love what it loves. And how often do we actually allow ourselves to follow the rhythm of our animal body? I have a cold right now. I don't have COVID, but I have a cold. And there's part of me, I'm like, great, I don't have to go out. I'm not supposed to go anywhere anyway with various symptoms of a, you know, stuffy nose. But it was this funny kind of relief, like, I could have done this without actually being sick. But there's this push that we can get ourselves into of like, go, 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 unless there's a reasonable excuse. You know, I'm like, huh. And again, to what ways, small and large, do we betray ourselves, betray that natural rhythm? And sometimes the obligations are just what they are, and we can't. Okay. Are we aware of that, though? Are we aware of what the body would like to be doing and what's possible? Is there a dialogue? Or as David Wyatt would say, is there a conversation between that which we feel we need to do, that what we have to do, and that what the body wants to do, which is distinct from what the personality and the ego wants to do? How do we allow ourselves to drop in? And if ever there was a time to kind of drop into a darkness, a slowing down, a version of hibernating, this time would be it, right? I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, and winters there were dark and not so dark, but reasonably like dark and gray and cold without really enough snow for it to be fun, except for on occasions. But it was that sort of icy gray cold. And in California, it's so green right now, it's mind-blowing. And I've been on the West Coast for a long time, and it's still odd to me to have winter be this explosion of greenery and life. I also spent a lot of time in Colorado, and the beauty of the snow, and how when there's a blanket of snow, it almost says, stay in. You know, stay in, stay warm. We get all bundled out and go out. And this ways in which, as we are all around the globe today, the different ways we move through winter, both seasonally in terms of our geographic experience of winter, but emotionally, how do we hold on to and honor when we are wintering? And I want to quote from this book called Wintering by Catherine May. And the opening line of the book is, sometimes winter happens in the dead of summer. And it's a beautiful, lovely book about this rhythm, and how do we pay attention to, again, the internal rhythm of, when do we want to curl up with the inside? You know, when do we give ourselves permission? And she actually talks in the book that she had an illness, and the doctor's like, you cannot keep working. And her relief of like, well, fine, I have a doctor's note. I said, well, I can't. And I could resonate with that with my little cold. I'm like, I'll stay home. But again, this tension we have of the busyness, we can be kind of acculturated to, and just saying, well, wait, what's actually true about how I want to spend this time? In these teachings, the Dharmic teachings that invite us to become aware and slow down and pay attention, to drop out of the busyness of the mind. The line from the poem I quote all the time, the clearing, like, can we create a clearing in the dense busyness of the mind? That's not quite the line, but I like to say it that way because I feel like that's what this practice allows for. And in that vein of this, the clearing, can we also honor the darkness where we can just reflect inwardly. From Rilke, let this darkness be a bell tower. Quiet friend who has come so far, feel how your breathing makes more space around you. Let this darkness be a bell tower and you the bell. As you ring, what batters you becomes your strength. Move back and forth into the change. What's it like, such intensity of pain? If the drink is bitter, turn yourself to wine. In this uncontainable night, be the mystery at the crossroads of your senses, the meaning discovered there. And if the world has ceased to hear you, say to the silent earth, I flow. To the rushing water, speak, I am. Again, honoring this internal rhythm as you ring, what batters you becomes your strength. Can we turn towards that which may be battering us in the season of winter, whether again it's the actual season of winter or a more internal season? Can we open up to, well, what actually is that experience of a sadness, of a loneliness, of a joy or delight, whatever it is that may be moving us or buffeting us one way or the other? Can we slow down enough in these times where it's almost like exponentially the speed can pick up with things that we're supposed to be doing, and to say, wait, how is it just now? Share from the book, wintering as at once a season of the natural world, a respite our bodies require in a state of mind, a cyclical recurrent weather pattern, if you will, in any life. Certainly the seasons, the rhythm of the natural world and the rhythms of our needs of our bodies, but also the seasons and rhythms of a life. And in the book, she talks about how out of sync we can really be with the seasons, the natural seasons, the seasons of the earth, an allowance for fields to go fallow, for the settling down that the earth and animals naturally do. How often do we really give ourselves over to that? Not so often. Not in the typical pacings of life, and that disjointedness from what's happening cyclically in the earth, in our own like busyness, we can stay up as long as we want and get up, you know, we're so out of sync with the natural world, kind of at our peril, because so many of us run with kind of this constant state of fatigue for many reasons. But it, part of this, I feel like, is our disconnect from the natural rhythms of the world and of the natural world. And a difficulty in honoring and saying, wait, no more. Again, the pandemic kind of helped in that first year of when we weren't really doing much at all, except on Zoom. And then there was sort of an honoring of, okay, I guess we're going to slow down. And the different ways that we're picking back up the pacings of our lives, and not really knowing how to navigate this particular phase. It's like, are we supposed to go out or stay home? Different places are definitely responding differently. In this book, she writes, part of what I'm quoting from a conversation she has with Krista Tippett on being in the podcast, that there's a key feature of enduring a winter in that it feels like everybody else is carrying on as normal, and you're the only one with a storm cloud over your head. And that's a very particular feeling. And it can bring up loads of emotion, not just sadness, but also a sense of paranoia or humiliation or a sense that we've somehow failed. And actually, whenever you start talking to people about your own winterings, they start telling you about theirs. And you realize what a huge community there could be if we talked about this in a different way. But for my life, the experience has been a feeling of falling through the cracks, being there on your own, and looking up through those cracks at the world carrying on around you. And the isolation we can feel as if we're the only ones. But again, her point of like, well, actually, when we start talking about it, people are like, oh, yeah, me too. And how often do we give ourselves over to those conversations? And I've spoken to a lot of people over the Thanksgiving holiday of the what can be a disappointment in some ways that there isn't a depth of meaningful conversations with our dear ones. And how do we start having those conversations when we're treading lightly? Like, oh, I don't want to talk about this political thing, or I don't want to talk about this. And yet, how do we find ways to connect with each other about this experience of being in this human realm, which is hard, even in the best of times, it's hard. Right? And that ability to connect and name, oh, me too. There we go. Sorry, bear with me. I'm going to read a little bit from the actual book. We're not raised to recognize wintering or to acknowledge its inevitability. And then we tend to see it again as the humiliation, that which should be hidden from view, lest we shock the world too greatly. We put on a brave face, and we may be grieving or sad privately. Wintering brings about the most profound and insightful moments of our human experience, and wisdom resides in those who have wintered. Beautiful phrase. And those who wisdom resides in those who have wintered, by which I take to mean those who of us who have allow ourselves to slow down enough and check in. How is it? And that might be, you know, a moments, you know, we sat for moments, the daily check-in, or can be when we have actual time where we can actually retreat in some ways, whether it's literally go on retreat or just in the course of a day. Where do we allow the sense of wintering to come into our daily lives in the actual season of winter? In our relentlessly busy contemporary world, we are forever trying to defer the onset of winter. We don't ever dare to feel its full bite. We don't dare to show the way it ravages us. The occasional sharp wintering would do us good. We must stop believing that these times in our lives are somehow silly, a failure of nerve or a lack of willpower. We must stop trying to ignore them or dispose of them. They're real, and they are asking something of us. We must learn to invite winter in. We must learn to invite winter in. Something is being asked of us, of whatever the emotional valences are that we're sitting with. Again, sense of delight. I'm going to get to see folks and celebrate and have a beautiful time. And other times, not so much. And again, pulling it out of the calendar time of the holidays, but just how do we work with, provide ourselves to appreciate the gift of our range of emotions, be it sadness or grief or anger or joy, delight, to be able to pay attention to what's being called here for. How can I slow down enough to pay attention? Wintering is a season in the cold, a fallow period in life when you're cut off from the world. Perhaps it's a period of transition that you've temporarily fallen between two worlds. There are gaps in the mesh of the everyday world, and sometimes they open you up and you fall through them into someplace else. Someplace else runs at an entirely different pace to the here and now, where everyone else carries on. Somewhere else is where ghosts live, concealed from view, only glimpsed by the people in the real world. Somewhere else exists at a delay, so you can't quite keep pace. She writes, perhaps I was already teetering on the brink of somewhere else, but now I fell through, simply and discreetly as dust sifting between the floorboards. I was surprised to find that I felt at home. The winter had begun. Again, that line, the winter around us, the darkness around us is deep. Can we put aside any need to fight against that? And in so doing, by inviting winter in, inherent in that invitation is, can we allow ourselves to rest? And what does that actually mean to us as individuals to rest? I read one poem and then we'll do from Wendell Berry. To go into the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark, go without sight, and find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings. To know the dark, go without sight, and find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings. I ask you to close your eyes. And even with our eyes closed, despite however much light might be in the room around us, there's a sense of darkness, yeah? And I'm going to ask us to consider a few things. And the first is, what does it mean to rest? I'm going to notice what pops up, perhaps as images or words of how you engage with relate to this notion of rest? Is it sort of the collapse and exhaustion at the end of the day, or stealing moments in a busy day to rest, which looks like what? And I'm asking, because it's not always so easy to know. In the book, Catherine Mays talks about sometimes rest required can mean like, oh, I'm going to go on retreat or I'm going to go on vacation. It gets really elaborate. What does it mean to rest in the day? What are the rest notes in the rhythm of your day? And if they're not quite there, what might you like to invite in as the pause, as the rest? What do you find to be restful? And again, just noticing as you hear the question, maybe repeat it to yourself a few times. What is restful in my life? Where do I find rest? Does it mean to actually rest this body, this mind, this heart? What is it that we actually rest upon? You know, we can rest the body upon the earth. And the teachings of faith or sadha, what do we rest our heart upon? Sort of throwing out these numbers of questions just to see what comes up. Some will resonate, some will not. But asking for a kind of a deeper inquiry to what does it mean to you to rest? What's that look like? And in some ways, there's an equation here between resting and wintering, which may not be accurate. But again, allowing the external world, the darkness of the external world, to serve as an invitation of, oh, you could rest. It's dark out. What is the animal body? How does this animal body of yours rest? And just noticing what comes up. And for some of us, I'd be like, gosh, I don't know. And that's okay. But just allowing that question to be lived into. Okay, what does grant this body a sense of rest? And how does the mind rest? How does the heart rest? The second thread I want to pick up is this idea of falling into someplace else. And if we allow ourselves to slow down, and again, it can be the sort of when it's imposed upon us of transitions, of changing work or moving or getting married, getting divorced. There are various transitions where it's, ooh, okay. New navigation skills are needed. But this notion of if the body and the mind and the heart are resting, is there a sense of dropping into someplace else that stands apart from and outside the daily, ordinary busyness of our lives? And what might the landscape of this someplace else look like? And again, playing, including these different metaphors or ways in which the darkness has been talked about by Rilke or Catherine May, or as a way of honoring a darkness, of including, oh yeah, this too. We don't always have to rush back into the light. What can we learn here in this place of winter, or in this someplace else, or in the stillness that may come when we actually allow ourselves to rest? Rest in an awareness, resting in the heart, allowing the mind to rest and not work so hard. What might that feel like in the body? If there's access to it, what does it feel like in the body to kind of really drink in this sense of rest? And again, the body, animal body resting, the mind resting, the heart resting. So I think I'll stop there and want to thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.